It is October 14th, 2005, approximately 9:45 a.m. We're at the Lansing Car Assembly. I am Doreen Howard, and I will be interviewing along with my co-workers, Mickey Castile. Mickey, could you please state your name and spell your last name and your address, please?
Mickey Castile, C-A-S-T-E-E-L, 189 South Main, Woodland, Michigan.
Okay. I'd like to go around the room and have everyone introduce themselves, please.
Doug Rademacher.
Cheryl McQuaid.
Linda Johnson.
Marilyn Coulter.
John Fedor.
Mike Fleming.
Okay. We'll get out some of the biographical data here. Are you married and do you have any children?
I'm married. I've been married for 33 years in December. I have three children, two boys and a girl, 30, 28, and 23.
And do you have any formal education or?
No, just high school.
High school education. Okay. And any military service at all?
No military.
Okay. I want to start out with your date of hire. When did you hire in? And tell me about that first day. What was your impressions of Fisher Body?
Well, I've hired in twice. I hired in 1973 and worked for 5 months. And then I got laid off because of the gas recession, the recession back in 73. And as luck would have it, both times I hired in the exact same spot, exact same foreman. O.J. Richardson was the foreman both times on the day shift. And the where I hired in, it was called the wheelhouse assembly, and it was kind of an offline job, so I got kind of lucky there. I hired right in on an offline job, and they were pretty hard to get back then.
Was this a body shop?
In the body shop.
And what did you work first shift or
on
second?
On the day shift. Both times I hired in, both times on the day shift. The first time I only made it about 2 or 3 months, and then I was put on the night shift, bumped on the night shift. And the second time, I stayed on the day shift for almost 4 years.
Mm-hmm. So when did you hire in the second time?
It's 1976.
So, body shop. So, explain about that first job that you were put on. What did you do, and what did your day consist of?
Well, they used to build up the wheel housings in what they call a buck, where they brought all the components in and spot welded them together. Well, then somebody would put that on a monorail, and my first job both times was to spray deadener on the, it'd be the outside of the wheel housing, but it'd be the part that was inside of the car, inside of the fenders and quarter panels.
And deadener is?
It's just a something that quiets the road sounds and stuff like that.
So it's like a soundproofing?
Soundproofing engine. Type things, yes.
Mickey, did you spray deadener in the body shop?
Yeah, it was a...
Did you have a booth or anything?
Yeah, it was in a booth. There was a booth down in the body shop there. That's about all I can call it.
I asked that question because it's since moved, and I was wondering if you did it open air. Was it what kind of equipment did you have to spray that?
That was a spray gun. It was in a booth that had water coming down to catch all the overspray and the stuff that didn't get onto the wheel housings.
What did you think about that?
Well, at first I didn't like it very well, but after a while I got used to the job and it wasn't all that bad.
Can you describe what, like, some of the dimensions of the booth and the actual environment and some of the protective equipment maybe that you had to have in order to go into that booth to do your job?
Well, back then you didn't have to have an awful lot of protective equipment. That if you had gloves and glasses with side shields, you were pretty well covered as far as protective equipment. That was quite a while ago, 30 years ago. The size of the booth was approximately 16 foot long, and then it was just wide enough for you to spray on one side and then just turn right around and not hardly even move at all and spray on the other side. So the total booth was probably 8 foot wide, but what I had to stand on was maybe 2 foot.
Now, you said that there was water. Was that a grading system in there?
Well, they pumped the water up above and it run down the wall so that all the overspray would catch, the water would catch that and take it down in, and then they'd filter it out and just repump the water right back.
So the overspray was heavy and it would fall into the water and then be...
Well, it would shoot past
be in the air?
It would shoot past the wheel housing and would catch in the water running down the wall.
Oh, okay. And how long did you do that job?
Not very long, maybe 2 months both times. Okay. It was a popular job, so a new hire didn't usually stay on that very long.
Was there any initiation that you went through when you first came in that particular job? Did they have any pranks that they'd pull on the person coming in?
No, not really. Not on that job.
Not on that job. Okay. So 2 months there, then where did you go to?
Well, I ended up where most everybody else ends up, in the body shop in the jungle. What they call a jungle. It's spot welding. The cars run down the line, and it kind of looks like a jungle with all the welders hanging down, and you've got certain welds that you have to weld, and you grab a gun and weld, maybe half a dozen welds on one part and push that gun back and grab another one. You might have two or three guns at each station.
Could you share that vision of when you first saw it and someone else was working in there and those sparks were flying? What were you thinking when you were taken down to that particular area?
Well, I guess what I was hoping is I wasn't going to get hit by too many of them, but I learned real quick that everybody gets them. Most of the time you get them from somebody else. The guy behind you or in front of you would be welding, and if they've got a little bit of dirt where they spot weld, or a little oil or something, it shoots out, and sometimes it gets you pretty good.
What exactly would get you? What do you mean get you?
The sparks from the, that's basically molten metal is what it is. And I've seen them spark so bad that they blew a hole in the metal.
No.
And they'd have to have somebody take a MIG welder and weld up that particular spot.
Now, those jobs made you wear coveralls. Did you ever have anyone start on? You ever see anyone catch on fire? I know for a fact that people that had long hair or something, they were always in jeopardy down in there.
Well, I've seen several people catch on fire. I had one guy was smoked, and he had a packet of matches in his breast pocket. He caught the matches on fire. He did a dance for a minute.
So was he hurt?
Was it good?
Was hurt? He hurt?
Oh, no, he didn't. I didn't see too many people get hurt. It was more of a, you've been through it, and it's, kind of funny to see somebody else dance around. It's not funny what happens to you, but it's real funny when it happens to somebody else.
But it was all in a day's work, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's
happened every week, happened pretty much every day.
Happened every minute. Somebody was dancing around most every minute.
Now, how long did you work in that particular area?
Maybe 3 or 4 months.
So the
one good thing that I've always enjoyed about GM is if you don't like your job, put in a transfer and move on. Mm-hmm. And so, I've done that quite a bit.
So where'd you move on to after that?
Well, I hung door hinges.
Oh, okay.
And then I got bumped off from that job. It's just that job, when I hung the door hinges on, what it was is they would come in with a 4x4 foot basket with hinges in it. And you would take a front hinge and a rear hinge and go up to the car and loosely secure them with bolts that they supplied. Well, that was another job that somebody else wanted, so they bumped me off that, and I ended up putting in trunk locks. And I probably was in the door department that first 4 years. I probably was in the door department 3.5 of it. And while I was in the door department, I ran the utility job, I hung doors, I did anything that was in the door department to repair. If a repair job consisted of if somebody couldn't get a bolt in or if the screw hole wasn't tapped, they would either replace the there's a little plate that's got that they fasten them to. They would replace that or something like that. Put a bolt in or change the doors. If the door got dented somehow, we'd change the doors. I never had that job per se, own that job, but I ran it while I was on utility quite a bit.
When you were in that door department back then, and the doors were, I believe, probably much larger than what we have here now.
Oh, yeah. They
talk about the difference in the doors then, now. Talk about what your area looked like. What was going on up here?
Well, back in the 70s, we were still building Tornados, and they were about an 80-pound door. So you didn't really want to see Tornados come very often. And we done that for a while, and then they started getting into the ergonomics, and they got us some assists, but you still had to pick the door up out of the rack, which was, excuse me, usually came with 13 doors in a rack. A fork truck driver would take the empty rack out and put a fresh rack in. You still had to take the doors out of the rack to put them on the lift assist.
Now, what time frame did the ergonomics issues start coming into play? When was that?
Well, as I remember, probably 79, 80, somewhere in there.
They
started talking about it, and we used it a little bit, but it was most of the people, they decided they could do it better without them a lot of times. It was hard to get a lot of the people to switch over to the ergonomics because they've been doing it for so long, and back then we were, quite a bit younger and thought we could do it quicker without the lift assist, so we could maybe read the paper or do something that we probably wasn't supposed to be doing, like throwing gloves or.
You were 4.5, you said about 4 years or 3.5 years in the door department.
Yeah.
Did you have the same supervisor?
Well, they would rotate their supervisors, but no, I had Dick Dowler and, Dick Dowler's the one I remember. He was one that everybody remembered.
Is there a particular reason why we remembered it?
kind of a backstabber. He would hide around the corner or get somewhere where he could see you to see if you were working.
Well, the line was running. You had to be working, didn't you?
Well, sometimes they expect you to stay right there and not read your paper or anything.
So did there come a time when you left the body shop and went to a different department?
I left the body shop and I went into the inspection group. And I did that for approximately 7 or 8 months. What I did there was inspected the bodies to see if there was any dents or dings or stuff like that. And what that consisted of, they gave you a mitt, and you would rub your hand over the surface of the quarter panel and the doors, and then you just record how many dents and dings you found and circle them, and then the metal finish people would poke out the you know, take a I can't think what it's called, but it's a metal rod is what it is. They reach inside the door and push the dent back out. Then they'd file it off and sand it off and make it smooth so they could paint the car. Get it ready for painting, basically. And then I went from there. I had the opportunity to go in what they called the fishbowl, and that was in the up in the office. And we took all the data that these people were rubbing the cars and recording the dents and dings. We would go through and count them and condense it for the morning meeting for the supervisors and higher up for their morning meetings.
Why did you condense that information? Why did they want that information condensed?
Well, it'd be a lot easier to have one sheet of paper than a half a dozen big sheets of paper to go in there and, you know, in the conference room and say, well, we've got 40 dings or something like that. It's just condensing material, taking raw material and making it smaller, more usable.
Did you have any training in that area of putting it in a simplified form for them?
No, they just took us in a room and we kind of learned, the first six of us kind of learned on our own, trial and error, what they wanted, what they didn't want. They'd tell you if they didn't like what you did. Then we just, if somebody else come in, we just gave them a crash course of what they wanted and what they didn't want.
Sounds like a preferred job.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
And how
I started
long
out,
did you do that?
I did that about a year. I started out with like 3.5-4 years. And when they finally got, I got eliminated out of there. There was people with 25 years in that helped me out of it.
So then where'd you go after that?
Then I went back to rubbing the cars on, that's when I went to the night shift.
So it's all been, so basically was in the body shop realm at that
point. Yeah, I was still in the body shop. I stayed in the body shop for quite a while. Then I didn't want to be on night, so I started looking around and I found a job that putting hinges back on, but they had a what they call the door shuttle then. That's back approximately when the Grand Am came in. They had what they called the door shuttle. And there again, we loosely put the hinges on the doors this time, and the doors went into this machine, and they put another person put a header in the buck, and the machine tightened down the hinges and welded the headers, and then somebody else took them off the end of that machine, put them back in a rack, and they took them out on the line and
and put them on the cars.
So moving forward, where did you go after that, after your QC inspection? You said you went back and you did the doors again for a while.
Then I went into the door shuttle.
And then
they eliminated that out, and I went out on the line. And what they did, they got rid of the door shuttle, and they moved that operation right out on the line. So then we had two people on each side of the line that would put the hinges on and affix the headers on, and we would rotate that job. I'd do, like an hour on one part of the job and an hour on the other part of the job. Then you'd finish welding. What it was is we'd both put hinges on two racks, and then my partner, he would put the door into the machine and put the header in, and it would fix it, or it would put it on, or attach it, and then it would shovel down, and I would finish welding the header on and take it out of that and put it in another holder, and we had somebody that would put the door on the car.
Now, your current position is?
City driver.
And can you explain what a city driver is and what your job entails?
Well, the city driver is basically a parts chaser. We just built the bodies here, so if the main plant needed like a door rubber or door glass or a mirror or something like that, I would get it from one of the docks here and take it over to Building 90 Repair, which would be final repair. They repaired everything on the car just before they shipped it to the dealers.
So you were basically the gopher.
Yeah.
Something needed to be fixed, you come over here, grab it, and return it to them.
They would call the person over here that needed to get it, and he would radio me, and I would come get it and take it over. And then part of my job was to be the backup driver for the body haulers, people that hauled bodies from Fisher Body or Plant 6 over to the main plant where they finished putting up the interiors and the wheels and undercarriage and motors.
So now, in the city driver, what type of vehicle did you actually drive in that?
I drive a one-ton Chevy stake rack truck. Has about 7 by 8 foot bed. And it's a smaller truck, so I can get into the buildings. I delivered stuff to Building 32 and Building 90 and Building 150. 150 is where they changed all the sheet metal. If you had a door that got dented up, they would take it off there and order a new painted door, and I'd take it over there, and they would put the new one on so they could get it ready to ship to the dealer, to the customer.
Now, how many people is there in your group? Is there just you, or is there more people that
are in my group? There was 7 of us, but there's only one city driver. The group consisted of all the people that drove, which would be the mail, the person that delivers mail and from plant to plant, and the old haul drivers that the body haul.
Mickey, why did you hire into Fisher Body? Do you remember your reason?
Why?
Yeah.
Benefits.
Also, for your job as a driver, didn't you have to take some special driving classes? And did you do that on company time, your own time? Did GM pay for it?
GM paid for it. I did it on company time. They paid me 40 hours to go to Battle Creek to the LCC truck driving school. I guess you could call that formal education, but I have a CDL, Class A CDL.
Okay. That's great. I really want to hear more about the body shop and your experience there. Were you a part of any of the dinners, or was it like potluck dinners? Did you participate in those? Could you tell me a little bit more about the body shop environment and being out there with everybody, the camaraderie? You touched base on, you know, you'd kind of like to get those doors hung so that you could read the paper and do things that you weren't supposed to do, like throw some gloves. Could you tell me a little bit more about the environment that you worked in?
Well, the environment in the body shop was pretty much everybody was in the same boat. We were still young. There was quite a turnover as far as employees, because you'd go like 1946 when World War II was finished. A large number of people hired in. And then they got their 30 years in and they retired, so there was close to 1,000 people when I hired in a matter of maybe a year, year and a half, that retired, and more people hired in. So we were pretty much all same age and in the same boat, where we're all pretty new and probably didn't know better. Knew better, but we couldn't resist, I guess you'd say.
So what were some of the pranks that you guys used to do to each other?
Oh, we had one guy, he was kind of afraid of mice, so we'd cut a finger off a dirty glove and put it in just inside the car, so when he'd walk up to the car, he'd see that and think it was a mouse.
There was a lot of mice running around in this place.
Well, that's what made it so good, is because there's so many mice and rats running around. It's people don't always get all their food and stuff in the trash can, so they have plenty to eat around here.
So between the body shop and City Driver, how did you transition from the body shop to the City Driver? What did you do in between that?
Well, I went from putting hinges on the doors or doing the doors, I went to what they call SPC, and that's statistical processing, where I would go out and I would measure the gaps in the doors and then go back and talk to the skilled trades and have them move the door in or out or up or down to make the fit better. We were getting into the fits and finishes quite a bit then, and that was a job I've probably had for the longest. I think I had that about 13 years. And That was a good job. It was a preferred job. It was one of the jobs that once you got on it, you couldn't be bumped, because it was training. I didn't go to any schooling, but it was training in the plant to use what they call a datamite, and that's a data collection machine.
Mm-hmm. What type of data did collect?
Well, the fits and finishes, the gaps in the doors. They wanted to make sure the gap was
consistent from the top of the door to the bottom of the door, and they wanted to make sure that the front of the header was the same distance away from the body as the back of the header and the top of the door.
Did you enjoy that job?
Yeah, I did enjoy that job until it got to the point where they expected me to get things done at other supervisor level. They just, you know, my supervisors wouldn't use their what I call clout to go over and get other people to move things. And it got to the point where they were expecting me to move things and hollering because I wasn't getting it done. And I, you know, you get to a certain point where a supervisor just says, no, I'm not going to do it. And that's as far as I could take it. And I had to have somebody, a superintendent level, would have to go in there, and they didn't want to do that. So I moved on. I used my transfer rights again and went to underbody repair.
So, Mickey, you moved around a lot during those different times. Have you had a chance to make long-standing friendships with any people? Do you interact with them outside of the plan? Or?
Oh, yeah. I have three or four people that I go hunting with, and I ride motorcycles with. And you're bound to get a few people that you want to see after you retire out of here. It's not that I don't want to see the majority of the people. It's just it's not going to happen. I know it's not going to happen.
Since you were in so many different areas, give me your ideas and feelings of what it's like to be an employee here. What's the overall feeling of the GM employee? You got to see a lot of different areas, a lot more than a lot of other people ever worked in, and experience a lot of different jobs. Explain a little bit about, you know, the culture as far as the people and their background and ways of doing things, I guess.
If I'm understanding your question, it's basically, you know, people want to do a good job in here. It's just, a lot of it depends on what the supervision will let them do. It's sometimes, as anybody that has worked here knows, that sometimes supervisors they overstep their boundaries, and they seem to want to remind everybody that they're in charge, and you know, basically everybody knows who's in charge. They just, and a lot of times if you just let the people do their job, they do a good job.
Mickey, were you ever involved in any of the union activities at local too?
Unfortunately, I'd have to say not very many. I did go to the union picnic and stuff like that, but as far as being a member that went to the union hall all the time, I didn't seem to go to the union hall unless I had a problem that I couldn't solve.
Was the picnic something that you enjoyed or looked forward to every year?
Oh, yeah, they're a lot of fun. You get to you know, even though I moved around a lot, there was a lot of people that you didn't see on a regular basis, and you got to see them over there. It's, okay. I'd have to say I may not miss coming to work when I retire, but I will miss a lot of the people that have either moved on, or I've known several people that's went down to Shreveport, Louisiana, or to one of the other plants, and likely as not, I won't ever see them again.
Did they use those transfer rights?
Everybody, if they know what's good for them, they'll use their transfer rights.
Now that our plant is closed, and what's your feeling on the closure of the plant, and how has it affected you personally?
Well, it's kind of sad. This place has been here longer than most of us have been alive. Double, you know. I'm 50, a little over 50 years old, and this plant's been here for a little over 100 years. So, and my grandfather, he worked here for about 15 minutes. The way he talked, he hired in here sometime in the 30s, and he was doing a job, and the foreman come up and wanted him to work a little faster. And he said, the foreman told him that there's 50 people out on the street that will take your job. He says, well, go find one. Went home. So he was a farmer, and he could make a living out of here, so he moved on too. I guess he used his transfer rights.
Did you have any other family work here outside of your grandfather?
Not in this plant. I had dad, he worked at Oldsmobile for, I don't know exactly how long he worked there, 3 or 4 years, and then he used his transfer rights and moved on. He worked at Industrial Welding after that, and then my brother, he hired right into Oldsmobile right out of high school, and then he went to Vietnam and served 2 years in the Army, got drafted, and then he come back. He thought he could see greener pastures, so he moved on, left GM. I had an uncle that he spent a little over 40 years as a driver driving cars off the end of the line over to Oldsmobile. He had a heart attack and died waiting to go to work over to Oldsmobile. It would be a second cousin. It was my mom's cousin. He spent 40 years over to Oldsmobile. He's retired and doing pretty good now. And then his son worked here in Fishy Body, what I call Fishy Body. And he just retired here last year with 30 years.
So your family is quite a GM history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, as a matter of fact, the one that retired with 40 years, his dad and mom both worked here. His dad retired out of here, and his mom just worked until they got things settled, and then she stayed home with the kids, I guess.
Mm, great.
But that was a little bit before my time.
Now, are you going to be moving on to the Delta plant?
Yeah, I've put in my application to go out there.
And will you be doing the same position?
As of right now, they're not going to have a city driver out there. And we're trying to talk them into having a city driver because they're going to need somebody to chase parts. So hopefully they can see things my way and I'll have city driver out there.
Well,
as of right now, we've still got some talking to do.
Well, in wrapping up here, is there anything at all that you wanted to talk about that we haven't touched on at all? Something that you want to talk about?
Oh, I don't think so.
We pretty much
covered everything, I think.
Okay. Was there any? I know there'll be a lot of new people coming into the Delta plant. Is there any advice that you could offer any of the new people coming into the plant?
Well, no, I don't think so. I think basically you're going to have people, no matter how old they are or how young they are, they're people who are basically going to do a good job or they're not going to do a good job. And as a whole, I think I've seen most of the people that work here, they basically want to do a good job. And I think that's why when GM has a new product, they always come to Lansing. They don't take it someplace else because they know that the workforce in Lansing is going to do a good job and get their product out on the in the public and have a good product out there.
The saying, the capital of quality. Okay.
Well, Mickey, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all for your time.